Father, we rejoice in the opportunity to be here today. And God, help us never to take for granted the meeting of your church. Help us never to lay aside the importance of the body coming together. And we are grateful for the gift of your grace, of your church. And Father, it's good to be here. Thank you for those you've gathered together. And help us to continue this morning as our hearts are just blessed and lifted up, God, by the word that we've heard, the truth that's been shared, the singing that we've shared together, the special music, the reading of Scripture. God, we just thank you for the opportunities now to worship you and to declare your greatness and your goodness and your grace even as we meet. Father, we need your help now as we look into this scripture this morning. And we need to know about sin, about sanctification, about this movement toward holiness in our lives. So, Father, we ask for that work of the Spirit. We're indwelt by the Spirit, by your grace. And, Lord, we pray that there will be a humility. There will be a receiving by faith this morning of this truth that will change us, and we would glorify you in it all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If someone ever says to you that the Christian life is easy, or if someone ever says to you that the Christian life is smooth, or if someone ever says to you that living as a Christian in this world is nice and comfortable, then I would say that they know nothing about living the Christian life.
Amen.
They know nothing about living as a Christian. You see, living the Christian life and becoming holy in everyday living is a fight, it's a struggle, it's a battle. And folks, that's what Romans 6 is all about. And we see it clearly in the words of the Apostle Paul as we see the language that he uses by the Spirit. I mean, how do people who have been justified by grace through faith defeat sin? How do people who have been declared righteous by God through faith in Jesus Christ live righteously every day? We as Christians are pulled constantly and continually by competing desires in our lives. There is this desire for what sin offers, and there is this desire for what God offers. And so, folks, we need to wake up to this struggle and this battle and this fight that takes place in our lives. The church needs to wake up. Christians need to wake up. We need to realize that the Christian life, the only life that leads to heaven, is a life of competing desires.
Amen.
We are pulled by sin. We are pulled by God. There is this struggle within us. It's the fight, it's the battle that takes place in our lives. And so the question that comes before us, and we see it even here in Romans chapter 6, is this: will we have victory over sin? Will we say no to the desires of sin? And so how do people who have been justified by grace through faith defeat sin? How does that take place? Look with me at Romans chapter 6, verse 14. And notice that Paul makes a clear statement here. He says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Folks, this is important. Simple statement by the Apostle Paul. We'll focus on this verse this morning. Sin shall not control us. Sin shall not have power over us. Sin shall not have dominion over us. And here's the reason. You were not under law, but under grace. Now, what does this mean? And why is that important to us? Well, here's why it's important. How you see yourself before God and how you live your life depends on whether you are under law or under grace. Amen. You're either under law or under grace. And so we step back and we begin to ask ourselves some questions about this statement that Paul makes. So how do we live under law? How do we live under law? I think the best way to explain it is this, that being under law means that law keeping is the way that we provide a righteousness that lets us stand before God. In other words, we believe that if we keep the law, or if we keep a standard, or if we obey certain laws or certain standards, that we can make ourselves right before God. That's living under law. And if we live in such a way that law keeping then provides that righteousness that justifies us, then we are under law. If keeping laws or obeying regulations or holding to a standard of conduct or doing good deeds or doing good works is the basis of my righteous standing before God, then I am under law. And I would say to you this morning that this is a deadly choice for sinners. Because none of us can succeed in using the law to provide a righteousness that puts us right with God. We just can't do it. It's impossible for us to keep law. We will not or never keep all law. And folks, even when we do obey law or a standard or a code of conduct, we have the wrong motives. Hold your place in Romans 6 and turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And look with me at verses 4 and 5. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Familiar verses. Paul says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Now notice that Christ was born under law to redeem those under law. Now what that means, at least three things we understand from that statement. That somebody is in deep trouble for being under the law. And Paul says that Christ needs to redeem them. And so if you're under the law, you need redemption. You need a redeemer. And that redeemer is Jesus Christ. And then we also see that Christ was born under the law. And so being under law for Jesus Christ was not something dangerous or sinful for Him because He was born under the law. As a matter of fact, Christ kept the law. He perfectly obeyed the law. And then also we understand that Christ redeemed us or rescued us or delivered us from being under the law. And so folks, being under law is not a good thing. Now notice I didn't say that the law was a bad thing. I said being under the law is not a good thing. Being under this system of trying to work and trying to do and trying to obey and trying to live up to a certain code of conduct, that's being under the law, and that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing primarily because Christ came to redeem us from that. He came to save us from that. Amen. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. And look at verses 2 through 4. Galatians 5, verses 2 through 4. Now keep in mind the big picture, the big point. Paul says that sin shall not have dominion over us because we're not under law, we're under grace. And we need to understand what it is to be under law. Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, Paul says, "Indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised," that means if you try to keep the law, he was just specific in that example, "if you try to keep the law, if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised or every person who tries to keep the law, I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, separated from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." Now you take that little passage, those little verses, and you read those and you have to walk away and you have to say, well, that really sounds serious. That Christ profits us nothing and we're separated from Christ and we have fallen from grace. If we're under law or if we're living by law, if law or keeping law is that mode of our living, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We see it from Paul's words here. See, if you want to claim that you can keep the law or do good things or do good works for your righteousness before God, then you must keep the whole law. You must do every good work. And of course, we can't. It's impossible for us to do that. Or if you try to provide any or all of your own righteousness before God, then Christ will be of no advantage to you. Paul says Christ will profit you nothing. Folks, in truth, Christ will be all of our righteousness or none of it. It's all or nothing. It's all of Jesus or nothing. If you try to provide some of your righteousness alongside Christ's righteousness for the ground of your justification, then you will, as Paul says, you will nullify grace or you will set aside the grace of God. He says you have fallen from grace. And so I hope that you can see how serious this is. Because this not only affects our justification, but it also affects our sanctification. Because a person can receive by faith the grace of God through Jesus Christ for justification, and then that person can attempt to keep the law or do good works or keep certain standards so that they may stay right with God. You see that? That's how it works for many, many people. I put my faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, and then as they are justified, they say, now I've got to work to keep it. Now I have to do good works to stay righteous before God, to stay justified. You see, the key is that these kind of people are working and serving and laboring and doing the things that God tells them to so that they can gain merit or righteousness before God. And folks, they lay aside the grace of God. Now, let me be clear. There's nothing wrong with the working. And there's nothing wrong with the serving or the laboring or the obeying. But our motives can be wrong. You see, there are people who are working for righteousness instead of working because they are righteous. And there's the difference. And folks, it doesn't work in justification and it doesn't work in sanctification. And so why then will sin have dominion over you if you live under the law? Because you can never, ever do enough. And you will always fail. And so you work more and you labor more, and you serve more, and you obey more. And then you fail, and you work more, and you labor more, and you serve more, because you want to make sure that your good works cover up your failures. And your good works cover up your bad works. And you keep working, and you keep serving, and you keep failing, and you keep falling, and you keep working, and you keep laboring. And folks, it is a vicious, terrible cycle of works and failure, and works and failure, and therefore sin rules over you. It has dominion over you. So how then do we live under grace? To live under grace means that Jesus Christ is all of our righteousness for justification. We receive it in Him as a gift, that's grace, as a gift through faith alone. We have no righteousness of ourselves, and therefore we can give nothing to God. It is all in Christ Jesus. And therefore, grace means that we are undeserving. And grace means that we are helpless and hopeless. And grace means that we have nothing to give or to offer. And grace means that all we need must come from someone else. And that someone is Jesus Christ. And Christ was born, and He lived under law, and He fulfilled it perfectly. And therefore, the righteousness that we need is Christ's righteousness. And by trusting Christ and putting our faith in Christ as our righteousness, that means we are under grace. And it's all about Jesus. It's all in Him and through Him. And so whether it's justification or sanctification, all that we need comes from God through Jesus Christ. Justification is by grace. Sanctification is by grace. And so Paul's statement here in Romans 6:14 is very important. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So that then brings us to this question. How does grace free us from sin's dominion? How are we freed by God's grace from the dominion of sin? And I'll mention to you two things this morning, and both are important. First of all, when we are under grace, the wrath of God or the judgment of God is entirely removed from us, and all of God's actions are now for us. I'm going to give you just a moment to think through that, because that is an astounding blessing beyond degree. When we are under grace, the wrath of God or the judgment of God is entirely removed from us, and all of God's actions are now for us. For us. You see, in Christ, we now have a new standing before God. God's wrath is no longer against us. God's mercy is now for us. And we've said this, and we've looked at Romans enough that we know that Christ took that wrath. And Christ took that judgment upon Himself. And therefore, God's judgment and God's wrath is not against us. It was poured out fully and completely on Jesus Christ. And when we, by the grace of God, place our faith in Jesus, when that grace of God works in our lives, then we are justified. We've talked about that. We understand justification. But think about this. All God's power and all His wisdom and all of His provision flows in the service of His mercy and grace in making us holy. All of it now is for us. In other words, Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, God is not against us, He is for us. Paul says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? All things. Do you know what that means, folks? That means that there is nothing that comes into your lives right now that doesn't, that's not included in those all things. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. You mean the hard things that come into my life? Yes. The difficult things? Yes. The tragic things? Yes. All these things. A sneeze? Yes. Absolute? Yes. 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 God is for us. You see, our chief enemy, sin, will not defeat us. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And therefore, being under grace means being out from under the wrath of God and the judgment of God. And folks, when we are out from under the wrath or the judgment of God, then all of His power and all of His mercy and all of His love and all that God is for us in Christ Jesus stands to help us do whatever it takes to be like Jesus and to be in glory.
Amen.
All of that is for us. And sin will not have dominion over us because all the power of God is on our side and not against us. And folks, that means everything. Everything that God brings into our lives is designed for our good in making us like Jesus Christ. And if God rules supremely over all things, and He does, He is the sovereign ruler of the universe, that means everything and all things God uses to sanctify us as His children. And that means that God is for us when our car is against us. And God is for us when our supervisor at work is against us. And God is for us when our body and its sickness and disease and weakness is against us. And God is for us when our culture is against us. And God is for us when our old enemy Satan is against us. And God is for us all the time, in every situation, in every circumstance. God is for us because God rules over all things. And everything passes through His hands and comes into our lives through His gracious and good and powerful hand to change us and conform us and to make us like Jesus Christ. And so I ask you, what are you complaining about? What are you complaining about, Pastor Tim? Because God is at work and He's working in His great power for us. So that's the first important truth. Here's the second. When we're under grace, God not only works for us, but God works in us. He works for us and He works in us. Hold your place here in Romans 6 and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And look at a familiar verses 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Now, Paul's talking to believers here. And he says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, look at this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. You know, when you look at verse 12, we see a lot of work going on there. Paul says, work out your own salvation. Notice he doesn't say work for your salvation. He says work it out. So we work out our salvation. And folks, that means there's labor and there's work and there's effort and there's energy and there's doing and there's deeds and there's conduct and there's actions, and all this is a part of Christian living. Amen. All this is a part of living under grace, by the way. Don't you ever let people say that if you're under grace that you don't work. We work and we labor and we serve because we're under grace. This is a real part of Christian living. This is a real part of sanctification. Sanctification by God's grace doesn't mean that we don't work or labor or keep laws or obey what God says, because this is a real part of becoming holy. But then notice Paul adds, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And so it's God who was working in us to give us the will and give us the doing of the work. Do you see that? It's God who does that. It's God who works in us and through us. Now go back to Romans 6, because looking at the context of this verse and looking at what Paul's saying in this passage, we see this same truth. Now, Paul says it in a different way, but we see this same truth from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. For example, look at Romans 6, 16. Remember now, Paul said, we work out our own salvation. And then notice he says in verse 16, to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves. Notice, you present yourselves. That's you working out your own salvation. You present yourselves. There's a presenting. Look at verse 17. Remember, Paul said in Philippians 2, it's God who works in us both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Verse 17, Paul says, but God be thanked. In other words, God is at work. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. So Paul here is actually thanking God for the believer's obedience. I mean, he could have thanked the believers for their obedience, but what did he do? He thanked God for their obedience. Why? Because God is working in them both to will and to do for His good pleasure. See, and notice it's from the heart, he said. It's from the heart. It's not just a doing, and it's not just obeying, and it's not just keeping God's law. But it's happening from the heart. And folks, the only way that it happens from the heart is if God does it. Because see, we can do and we can obey and we can keep codes, and it's not from the heart. And that's what religious people do. And I hope you're not a religious person today. I hope you're a relationship person. I hope you're a person who, by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, knows God through Jesus. And you know Him, as Paul said, in the power of His resurrection. And you fellowship in His sufferings. See, that's a believer. That's a Christian. God's doing it. Look at verse 18. Paul says, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Who set us free? Who made us slaves of righteousness? You see, folks, this is the work of God through Jesus Christ. God freed us from sin, and God enslaved us to righteousness. Look at verse 19. We work out our own salvation. Paul says, so now present your members, your weapons, as slaves of righteousness for holiness. See, there's a presenting, there's a giving. Folks, when we are under grace, God works in us to do His will. And that's why sin will not be our master. God works in us and inclines our hearts away from sin and toward righteousness. And this truly is an amazing and marvelous work of the grace of God in us. Amen. So in closing, let me give you three short encouragements. We'll draw some things together. First of all, don't think that when Paul says that sin will not have dominion over you, that it means that we will be perfect in this life. That's not what that means. See, Paul makes it plain in his writings that believers are not perfect, they are not sinless, and they must keep going, and it's a fight, and it's a struggle. Listen now to what he says in Philippians 3:12. He says not, he's talking about himself, and he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Paul said, I press on. I keep going. See, he was not perfect. He says, I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. I haven't attained. That was the Apostle Paul. And so I press on, he says. Listen to what he says in Romans 7:19. He's talking about himself. And he says, for the good that I want to do, I do not do. But the evil I want not to do, that I practice. That's the Apostle Paul. By the way, that's all of us as believers. All of us. And folks, we will not be perfect and we will not be sinless until we are fully and finally transformed in the presence of Jesus Christ. And that's what we call glorification. So when Paul says that sin shall not have dominion over us, he means that sin is not our master, sin is not our ruler, sin does not sit on the throne of our lives, sin is not ruling over us completely and entirely, and therefore we must continue to fight it. There's a second encouragement. When we hear that God is working for us and in us, don't think that you will not have to fight against sin. Don't think that if God is over all this, then I don't have to do anything. That's not true. The truth is, you and I must fight, and you and I must work, and you and I must put forth serious effort and energy into sanctification. Remember what Paul said, we must work out our own salvation. But it ultimately depends on God, and because it does, then I have great and solid hope that I can be changed, and I can bring glory to God, and I can honor God, because it's God who's working in me both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And then third, realize that Paul is teaching us here how to live for the glory of God and not for the glory of ourselves. And this, folks, is why God is ultimate. Whether it's justification or whether it's sanctification, God is ultimate. This is why it depends finally and fully on God. And this is why God just doesn't say, well, do it. Do it. This is why God says, because you are under grace, you can do it. And because you died with Christ, you can do it. And because you live with Christ, you can do it. And because you are slaves of righteousness, you can do it. And do it because God is at work in us, in you, in me, to do it. And therefore, God is the focus, and God is the center, and God gets the glory. And in the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4, we do and we don't. By the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 And therefore, we should praise and glorify God now for His grace, because sin shall not have dominion over us. And folks, when you struggle and you fight and you battle and you agonize over the sin in your life, then you thank God for His grace. And you actually thank God for the fight. Thank God for the battle. Thank God for the struggle, because God is at work in making us holy. That's the grace of God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You for Your grace. Help us to submit to You by Your grace. Help us. God, we are reminded that You've given us all things necessary for life and godliness. And therefore, Father, we have no excuse before You today. We have no legitimate reason why we don't grow and why we don't live in a way that honors You, why we don't become like Christ. Father, we know it's hard. We know it's difficult. We know that we live in a world that is cursed by sin. We have a nature within us that is against You. But, oh God, through Jesus Christ, You've overcome it all. We praise You. We thank You that sin shall not have dominion over us, because we are not under law, but under grace. Thank You, Father. May our lives show it, reflect it clearly, that You are a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of great love through Jesus Christ. Thank You that all the judgment and all the wrath, Jesus took it upon Himself. And now we are freed to love You and to serve others through You and to bring glory to You. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.